Well, good morning, King's Church, and welcome to the latest in our series of online talks. And this is my first one for months. The last one I did was back in August. So it's so good to be back. So good to be speaking to you again, even if it's virtually. Hopefully soon we'll all be back together. Thank you, first of all, to everyone who's prayed for me and prayed for Jules during this time while we've been going through everything we've been going through in these last few months. I really, really appreciate all your prayers, and believe me, they have made a big difference. So thank you. Okay, well, back in August, before I had my prostate operation, I got a card from Ange, and it had one line from Psalm 46 on it: "Be still and know that I am God." And that was lovely, and it was very encouraging. And then in about the same week, I got a card from Mary, and it said, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 46, verse 10. And that verse really helped me. When God gives you the same thing twice, you know, you need to pay attention. So I did. And it really has helped carry me through this period. So that's what we're going to look on today. So you find Psalm 46, verse 10 in your Bible, and while you're doing that, I'll just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your kindness and your grace towards us all. Thank you for being our God and choosing us as your people. And thank you, Lord, for your word, which is eternal truth, which is eternal life. And I just pray you will help each one of us, Holy Spirit, to soak up all that you're saying to us in your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, here we go then. Psalm 46, verse 10, first line: "Be still and know that I am God." It's a very well-known verse, isn't it? So we're going to look at it in some detail, and then later on I want to open it out and look at the whole psalm. What a lovely verse, isn't it? So reassuring and so lovely to be sent it twice, just days before going in for my prostate operation. Little did I know at that time that it would be the first of three hospital stays. Prostate in the first week of September. TIA, which is like a miniature stroke, exactly 1 month later to the day. And then back in early November to have a pacemaker fitted. Anyway, let's look at this verse together. It breaks into three sections, doesn't it? Be still, is the first one. Know that I am God. So I'm going to take each of those three in turn and we'll have a look at them together. First of all, be still. Jules says this is the bit I'm worst at. You know God, but you can't keep still. I'm always tapping out a drum beat. But the verse doesn't simply mean physically, although it kind of does mean that in a way, but it's not so much about movement as it is about stilling your heart, about being still within. Psalm 131, verse 2 says, "I have calmed and quietened my soul like a weaned child with its mother." And that's what this is talking about. It's lovely, isn't it? Or like a weaned child. No worries, no fear, no anxiety. And it's up to us to quieten our inner selves. That's our bit. The world is constantly throwing worry at us, isn't it? Excuse me. Especially in this year of the plague of COVID. The media seem intent on making us all as anxious and fretful as possible. So many have died today. So many have mental health problems. So many are losing their jobs. You're all doomed. And it's very easy to be sucked in to this negative atmosphere of gloom and to let it take you down. The enemy will do everything he can to get us out of God's peace and into fear, into anxiety, into negativity. It's one of his main strategies against the people of God. He certainly tried it with me, even this week, preparing for this. But we don't need to give in to that. And we don't give in to his strategies because we have the Lord God watching over us. The peace of God, which transcends understanding. That's our inheritance. We just have to learn to be still. The eternal Sabbath rest of God is available to us right now. It's a key part of the gift Jesus gave us through his blood. Let's learn to live in the good of it together. There's so much, we could do a whole sermon on the Sabbath rest of God, maybe another time. But sticking with be still for a moment, there's another aspect to it, and that is not being distracted by other thoughts. And I've got to tell you, this is where I fall down a lot. I'm praying, I'm focusing on God, but then suddenly my mind veers off and I'm thinking about all sorts of other stuff. Not anxieties or worries, just stuff. Things I have to do later. People I need to talk to, conversations I'm going to be having. All sorts, just distractions to take my mind off God and onto busyness. Is anyone else like that? Is that just me? I don't think it is. But like in Psalm 131, we have to train ourselves. We have to speak to our mind. Be still. Like any training, it takes time and discipline, but it's worth it. Paul promises us in Romans 12, he says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will." Do you want to know what God's perfect and pleasing will for your life is? Learn to be still. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind in quiet and stillness, and God will speak. All right, let's move on. The next part of the verse, know that I am God, and I want to just spend a moment on that one word, know. Clearly, here, it means much more than just knowledge, you know. You could say, well, yeah, I know God's God, I'm not an atheist, what do you think? But that's not what it means, is it? When scripture uses the verb know of a person, it means something much deeper, much more intimate than just knowing who they are. There's a world of difference, isn't there, between some casual acquaintance that you kind of know. Do you know so-and-so? Oh, yeah, sort of. There's a world of difference between that and somebody you're really close to. Your wife or your husband or your best friend that you share your life with, that you talk through things with. You know them and they know you, and it's really, it's a much deeper level. And that's what God, that's what this means here of God. Scripture tells us Moses spoke with God as a man speaks to his friend. Wow. And thanks to Jesus, we have become God's children and we can know him as our Father. Isn't that amazing? The creator of the universe is our Father. And this is what this verse is saying. Know him. Develop that deeper relationship with God so you really know him well. Ange talks a lot, doesn't she, in her talks about intimacy with the Lord. And that's what this verse is getting at. Same thing. Like any relationship, it takes time, it takes work, it takes honesty and truth, takes openness, willingness to speak out, willingness to listen. Do you know him? Do you know the Lord of all creation? Finally, last bit, know what? Know that he is God. He's God. We're not just talking about somebody. This is God. He is totally in command of every situation. Whatever's happening in the world, whether there's illness, there's financial worries, there's trouble, there's strife, he is God. He is sovereign over it all. Nothing is beyond his reverence. He is the Lord God Almighty and he reigns over all. And wonderfully, he's watching over us and guarding us. He sent his Holy Spirit here to counsel us, to comfort us, So we have absolutely no need to worry about our life, because he is with us. We can be still and know for sure that he is God, creator of heaven and earth, and he's with us. When I went in for my prostate operation first week of September, it was all planned. We'd met the surgeon beforehand. We knew exactly what would happen. We knew what the recovery afterwards was likely to involve and how long it was likely to be. Mentally, emotionally, we were ready for it. We still needed to know that God was with us, but it was okay. Operation, one night in hospital, back home. We kind of got it. But then suddenly, a month later, I'm finding myself back in hospital again after a mini stroke, totally out of the blue. That was a different thing altogether. It was a real shock. And through it, we've both learned, Jules and I, a new level of trusting God, of learning to be still and know him, even in the midst of uncertainty, even when things are going wrong and not what we want, yet still there's God. Being in that stroke ward, oh, it was like there were older men in there that, you know, one guy couldn't lift a leg. The nurses were saying, just lift your left leg, and he'd lift his right leg. And they'd say, no, try this one, and he'd lift it. He just couldn't do it. It's pitiful to see. And I'm lying there thinking, oh, no, Lord, I don't want this. But you learn to trust whatever's happening, God is with you. And he's been with me through all of this, I can tell you. And then, blow me down, a third one. For those of you who don't know, the very last time we met in church, I had a bit of a fainting fit. I almost passed out. And I remember Brian and Howard praying with me, and you know, gradually I came around and I was okay, got through the meeting. In the afternoon, Steve Byrne, bless him, took me to York, to A&E, just to be checked out, really, to see what it was. And they found a heart problem that I didn't even know I'd got. So they kept me in overnight, which wasn't what I was hoping for. Next day, they put a pacemaker in me. But that didn't go properly. So the following day, Tuesday morning, they refitted it. This is a whole new level of being still and knowing that I was being looked after. Not just by the doctors and nurses, who were great, by the way, but by the Lord God Almighty. The creator of heaven and earth loves me and he watches over me at all times. And I knew that. And guess what? He loves you too. Every bit as much. And I can remember pondering this when I was lying in this bed in the heart ward, trying to memorise Psalm 46, reading it through. I'd got the Bible app on my phone and I'm going through it, trying to learn this psalm. It's only 11 verses. It took me absolutely ages. So the big message is, know that God is with us. Doesn't matter what's happening around us. Even when things go apparently wrong, even when things are not the way we would like them to be, don't allow fear, don't allow depression, don't allow anxiety to swamp you. These things will come against you. But you can learn to be still and to know that he is God and he is with you. And if the Lord Almighty is with us, what can come against us? Right, before we're going to zoom out and look at the rest of the psalm in a minute, but before we do that, I want a quick word about connection. Each of us is made up of body, soul, spirit. Yeah? The body, obviously, is your physical bits, your physical body. The soul, that refers to our heart, our emotions, our mind, our willpower, personality, really, I guess. And the spirit, that's your innermost being. The spirit God puts within us. Scripture talks, doesn't he, about in your inner man or in your innermost being. That's the spirit. And these three, body, soul, spirit, are all interconnected. Many doctors know that deep-lying emotional or mental problems like stuff like depression or chronic anxiety can come out in a physical form and make our bodies behave in particular ways that can make us ill. Mental stress becomes physical stress, stiff necks, bad backs, that kind of thing. And many physical complaints like arthritis, lumbago, even some cancers can sometimes be physical manifestations of what's going on the inside. They're not separate, they're all interconnected. And that's certainly, I know that's been the case with me. And throughout this year, long before any of these operations, long before COVID, whatever, God's been working on my heart. And he's been speaking to me in various ways, opening up my emotions. Emotions that I'd kind of squashed down over the years. And he's been getting rid of, he's been undoing one by one the layers of self-protection, the defensive walls, if you like, that I'd put up around my heart to defend myself against betrayals, against griefs, against all the general sticks and stones that the world chucks at you. I think a lot of us do that. Well, we all do it to some extent. Many of us to the extent I have. I spoke a bit about this at a men's meeting last month. I think men are particularly prone to this kind of thing. But God's been really doing a real deep work in my heart over the last year, I guess. So I suppose, on reflection, it wasn't really a big surprise when all this turned out to have a physical manifestation and the doctors found heart arrhythmia. My heart wasn't beating properly. And the pacemaker that I've got now is kind of a physical reminder. God has sorted my heart out. My heart is whole, physically, emotionally, spiritually. So, this verse, this be still and know that I am God, it's a wonderfully reassuring, encouraging verse for all of us, isn't it? Especially times like now when we're going through difficulties. You may not have any health-related things at all. But I know some of you are going through some real, very emotional difficulties at the moment. But whatever you're going through, whatever the world, the flesh and the devil are chucking at you, the Lord Almighty is with you and he will sustain you through it all. Once you really know that, once you truly know he is God and he is with you, all those cares just vanish like the frost in the sunshine of the morning. And God's love is the sunshine that we all need to warm us up, isn't it? We just have to teach ourselves to be still and to let him in. It's lovely. And we could stop it there, but we're not going to because we're going to zoom out and look at the whole psalm, okay? And when we do that, well, we're going to get something of a surprise because we'll discover it doesn't really quite mean what we thought. Let's go back to the beginning, Psalm 46. I'm going to skip the director music bit. We'll start in verse 1. And I just want to read the first three verses to start with. I'm reading from the NIV. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. This is powerful stuff, isn't it? And that verse 1 is the foundation for the whole psalm. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. He is our refuge. He protects. The refuge is where you hide when the going gets tough. And he's a help. And he's a strength. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth, can you imagine the earth giving way? And mountains falling into the heart of the sea, and its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake. But we won't fear. What mountains in your life are quaking at the moment? Of mountains fallen into the sea, mountains of trusting in the world, trusting in health, trusting in your job. What about the mountain of Christmas? What about the mountain of family, of relationships? What this psalm is saying is, don't fear. Even if all those mountains in your life, even if the things in your life that you thought were rock solid have crumbled into the sea, God is still with you. And he is our ever-present help in trouble. Let's go on. Next four verses. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Boom. First of all, I don't know if any of you have ever actually been to Jerusalem, but there isn't a river. Jerusalem is a city built on a hilltop. And unlike pretty much every city I've ever been to in Europe or England or wherever, which are built on rivers or on a coast, Jerusalem's not. There's no river there. But we've studied Revelation, haven't we, King's Church? And we know in Revelation 21, the city of God has a river running right through the middle of it, the river of life eternal. And we also know that now, in the light of Jesus, the city of God isn't the physical city of Jerusalem, which is what the psalmist was writing about. The city of God is us, his people. We're the holy place where the Most High dwells now. And God is within us. We won't fall. God will help us at break of day. You see that? Ooh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. You can see, just look at the news. Look at the uproar in the nations with this coronavirus, with Iran, with China, with Russia, with all that's going on in America. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms, physical and spiritual, falling. When God lifts his voice, the whole earth melts because he's so powerful. But why should we worry? Because look at verse 7. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Wow. Isn't that reassuring? Next line. Look at this, just this one line. Look at this, verse 8. Come and see the works of the Lord. Sounds like it's going to be great, doesn't it? Oh, let's come and see the lovely things. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Ooh. Oh, my goodness me. God will bring desolations on those who are his enemies. He'll break the bow and shatter the spear. And that line, our line, yeah, isn't what we thought, is it? He's not saying in a loving way, it's okay, people, be still, I'm God, it's fine. He's speaking it to his enemies. And he's saying, you lot, be still. I am God, and I will be exalted in the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. It's a statement of power. It's a statement of God's sovereignty, even over those who oppose him, even those who come against his people. He is God, and he speaks out against them to silence them, rather than speaking to comfort us. One of the basic fundamental rules of opening up scripture is to look at the context. We did this in our Bible studies, didn't we, those who went through Romans with me before. You've got to know, where does this verse come? How does it fit into what came before and what comes after? And often, quoting a verse out of context, it can lead to serious misunderstanding. You can change the meaning of a verse by taking it out of context, and that can have serious consequences in misleading God's people. There have been times when it has done. The New Testament is full of warnings. Beware of false teachers. Beware of false teachings that lead you away from God's truth. So when I did read this psalm and I discovered what has happened, I thought, oh no, I was concerned. We've taken this verse, not just me, but you know, the writers of these cards, we've taken this verse totally out of context and changed its meaning. It's not lovey-dovey, it's ferocious. So have we distorted what God's saying to us? Is everything I've just taught you in that first 20 minutes, is that wrong? I don't want to be a false teacher. So obviously, I've reread that psalm so many times and prayed, and I realised, actually, it's okay. He doesn't speak that verse to Israel to comfort them. He speaks it to their enemies, to his enemies, to terrify them into submission. And that is a comfort to us. We can rest in stillness. We can rest in God's peace precisely because we can be confident that he will destroy our enemies and in doing so, keep us safe. And also, actually, and this is important, this whole concept, this idea of being still and of trusting God, it's a very biblical idea. It's not just in this one verse. It crops up at various points throughout the Old Testament. It's throughout the New Testament. Trust in God. Fear not. So we haven't drifted unknowingly into error. We've not gone false. We've just opened up a new dimension of God's word to us. Isn't that wonderful? The psalm ends, we've got one verse left, haven't we, verse 11, which repeats the previous verse 7. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Just in case we weren't sure, we'll round the psalm off with that confident, reassuring statement. The Lord Almighty is with us, he's our fortress. Isn't that glorious? Aren't you glad you've got the Lord God Almighty as your fortress to protect you against everything that can come against? So whatever it is, whatever's coming against you, lovely, lovely King's Church, whatever it is, illness, fear, unemployment, trouble, anxiety, redundancy, rest assured, the Lord of hosts is with you. He's standing tall against your enemies and he is fighting on your behalf. He's your fortress. He's your strength. He is an ever-present help in trouble. In John chapter 16, Jesus speaks to his disciples and he reassures them. He says this. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. See, the world's got trouble, but we've got peace in him. He's overcome the world, he's defeated the forces of darkness and evil and death, and he's brought us into his righteousness, into his eternal life, into his eternal Sabbath rest. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, we are certainly living through turbulent and difficult times, such as none of us have seen before. Governments around the world are struggling to know what to do and how to cope with everything. And there's plenty of turmoil and there's plenty of trouble. But thank you, Lord God, that you are with us, that you are our fortress, that you are an ever-present help in trouble. Thank you, Lord, for your word which teaches us to be still. Fear not, to know that you are God, you are with us, you are sovereign, and your love is all we need. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, King's Church, that's all from me for this week. We may possibly be all back together again next Sunday. Who knows? Let's wait and see. Meanwhile, have a great week. Trust in the Lord and be strong in his power and his might, and most of all in his love. God bless you all.